Well, as I speak to you today, I am just back from Liverpool in England, where I was invited to attend a seminar entitled Migration as a New Point of Evangelisation and Solidarity. The seminar, which was drawn up by the Common Commission of Bishops from Africa and Europe, aimed to shine a positive light on the theme of human mobility, seen not as a problem, but as a resource. Monsignor Peter Fleetwood is one of the organisers of the seminar, which he told me is actually part of a four-year project which began in Rome back in 1994. And because Liverpool is historically closely tied to Africa for its role in the slave trade, he said it was he who suggested the bishops have their 2008 seminar in the port city.
Partly because it's the year when Liverpool is European capital of culture, but also because our city is built on migration, really. The slave trade was what made Liverpool rich originally, and when most of the huge buildings, the beautiful buildings, began to appear, merchants' homes, vast buildings on the waterfront, owned by shipping lines and things like that. That all is a direct result of the slave trade making Liverpool into a useful port.
Now, I see here that the bishops have decided to give a positive spin, let's say, to the theme of this seminar, in the sense that they're viewing migration as a resource rather than a problem. What do you think about that? How can that have an impact on the phenomenon?
Well, I suppose if you view everything as a problem, it makes it more difficult to do. I remember my boss, when I was working in Rome, used to say, "There are no problems, there are only challenges." And it became a bit of a mantra for him, but actually it was a good little principle to have. To avoid using the word problem, actually made a whole discourse, a talk or a project. It gave it a more positive flavour anyway, and people were more willing to listen, I think, if you speak positively. That's one thing, getting a willing audience. But secondly, if you yourself approach it as a normal part, a new challenge maybe, but a normal part of your work, rather than as a whole series of mega problems, it stops you looking at the task as a problem. And I suppose the most important thing of all is you don't look at migrants as problem people. That's a terrible disease that I suppose has afflicted many of us, or many of our cultures, many of our countries. And maybe that's one of the motives behind it, really, to see the migrant as a human being, a normal client of the church business, so to speak, rather than a person who is a bit odd. Because many of the people we deal with from day to day in a parish would have a terrible sickness or a huge amount of grief or poverty or financial difficulties or marriage difficulties. So you're dealing with people with lots of difficulties, but they're not strange objects. They're human beings that simply turn to you and want, very often just want you to listen or want you to be there. And sometimes you can help, sometimes you can't. And I think if the migrant is allowed to feel just like everybody else in that sense, that's great, but that needs the pastoral agent, maybe the priest, maybe the sister, maybe the person welcoming people at the back of church on a Sunday, just to see another face rather than to see a potential threat or anything negative. So maybe it's partly training ourselves, is a sort of psychological device, which is very, very good. I'm glad to see it, really.
I don't think they're a problem at all, but when I do consider migrants, I can't but help feel immense pain for the trials a lot of them go through. Many of them face death in their attempt to flee their countries for whatever reason. And it's very difficult for me to speak with such positivity.
Now, I suppose I'm speaking of a positive attitude towards the person. Seeing a person, not a problem, seeing individuals and faces rather than statistics and threats. I'm alarmed sometimes by my own instinctive reaction. Why are all those people in that boat? Who's taken all that money off them for them to get across the Mediterranean? Why is this situation arisen anyway? And you get a whole range of reactions in people watching the news that you can be sitting within their house, or they can come and visit you, or whatever. Oh, they should stay where they belong anyway. What are they coming here for? And you get at the other end reactions more like yours, saying, "Oh my God, what can we do?" So I think it's important for the top people in the church, if you like, to lead by example and spread that compassion. One of the people here at the conference is from the Pontifical Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant Peoples, if I've got the title right. Mm-hmm. And they produced a wonderful document all about, and it begins with the phrase, the love of Christ towards the migrant. But it's the love of Christ is what is called for in every believer, really. It's not the criticism, it's not the social analysis. Leave those things to the experts, in a sense, but what we must do is somehow be a loving face to people who need that. There's nothing positive about the situation they're in, but I suppose if we treat them as positive, we can make a positive contribution and perhaps turn the thing around a little bit, modestly, in at least a few cases, or a few hundred cases, or a few thousand cases. It still is only the tip of the iceberg, because this is going to get worse. And little do they know what they're coming to with the terrible economic situation that's afflicting major so-called rich countries. So that could be, you know, it's very timely, the idea of training ourselves to look at the face, to see the need for the love of Christ, however that can be expressed. And there's your much more natural, human compassion. That's got to be an essential component when you look at the news or read the news or see some horrendous pictures. I know when I was living in Switzerland, they do manage to produce some very good photographic news reports, and the photographs they reproduce from Spain may be things that may have been suppressed in other countries along the Mediterranean, I don't know. But they're so harrowing, seeing paramedics and then ordinary people and off-duty nurses trying desperately to breathe life back into practically corpses that have come ashore, or people who have been walking and just crashed onto the sand. It's a horrendous set of images that are still in my mind now.
Father Peter, what will happen at the end of this seminar? Will some conclusions be drawn up? Will the project go forward in some way?
Well, I noticed in the documentation that's come from the preparatory group that people were supposed to come with ideas ready for a concluding document or statement. People may be groaning as they hear that very phrase, oh, another concluding document, another statement. But without some statement of intent, you can't really spur people on. And I hope they do manage to find something that would inspire a little bit of reaction or action. Maybe even change some people's view. If they could just find the right formulation, the right phrase to grab a headline here and there, they might be doing an awful lot more good than just writing a document.
You've been listening to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, the Catholic Church's coordinator for Liverpool, European City of Culture, 2008.